Astronomers have discovered a lot in recent years about planets well beyond our solar system and whether they could potentially support life. That search for other forms of life could get a big boost in the near future with new technologies, including space telescopes, coming online. And last month, the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine released its once-every-decade report on the astronomy field. It says answering that question of whether we're alone in space will be a top priority for astronomers in the years ahead. Lee Billings is a senior editor for Space and Physics for Scientific American. He's author of the book, 5 Billion Years of Solitude, The Search for Life Among the Stars. Lee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Well, it seems like a tall order, trying to find needles of life in the haystack of the universe. Why is that search for so important for a lot of astronomers?
Indeed, it is pretty tough. It's not just important for astronomers. It's kind of important for everyone. I mean, we're talking about a timeless question that we've contemplated, since our ancestors, I think, first looked up at the sky tens, hundreds of thousands of years ago and wondered where all those other stars were. At the time, we didn't know they were stars, other suns, other planetary systems. We thought maybe they were campfires or the gods, something like that. But getting back to it, this is a question that's really fundamental to the nature of what it means to be human, not only satisfying our own deep curiosity about our cosmic context, but also, yeah, learning whether or not we are actually truly alone. We are on the cusp of being able to do that in our lifetimes for the first time ever in any human's lifetime. So I think it's for everybody.
I want to talk some about the momentum here, because when I was growing up, we knew there were probably planets, around other stars. We couldn't see them, and now we can see them, and there are lots of them that we found, right?
That's right. I think the latest tally, depending on who you ask, if it's NASA versus other databases, we're coming up on 5,000 known exoplanets beyond the solar system. Some other people would say it's more like 7 or even 8,000. It has to do with what you consider a planet. A lot of the planets we found, we haven't actually seen directly. We're only inferring their presence based on how they alter the motions or the behavior of their stars. So we look at the star, and then from how it acts, we can basically tell that there are planets there. But what the future is going to be is seeing these planets directly and taking pictures of them, which is very, very, very hard to do for a little tiny planet like Earth around a big bright star like the sun. So that's the future. And the reason why you want to take a picture is because that's going to let you do other things too, like search for certain gases and mixtures of chemicals that might exist in the atmosphere or on the surface to tell you that life might be there. Things like water or oxygen, which here on Earth, oxygen mostly comes from photosynthesis. So it's those sorts of signatures we could get and we can see in a little pale blue dot around another star somewhere else in the Milky Way that might tell us that we're not alone or might show us instead that we are alone.
I mentioned that Astro 2020 report. You wrote about it. This is kind of the big picture vision. What do they lay out in that report about what our next steps are going to be?
Ooh, too much to say here in the time we've got. I'll summarize that the most important thing is twofold, I should say. So it's not two important things. The first thing is that NASA's James Webb Space Telescope is going to launch later this month, December 22nd, if all goes well. Knock on wood there. And that's going to be a very important tool for studying some types of exoplanets or signs of life, but only really a very small subset. A handful of worlds that are around very small, very cool stars called red dwarf stars. And Webb will be able to look at a small sample of those planets and maybe look for signs of life or habitability on them. But again, we're talking about a handful of planets, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe not even that many. And so what needs to happen next is what this report, Astro 2020, has laid out. And the plan, in a nutshell, is to launch something kind of like a super Hubble, something with a light gathering mirror on the order of 6 or even 7 meters in size, to look in ultraviolet and infrared and optical light at a very large number of stars and look for Earth-like planets around sun-like stars and get a robust sample. So instead of looking at maybe 5 or 10, maybe you'll look at 100. Or maybe you'll look at 50 or 25. And when you have that larger sample size, that's going to give you more confidence in your conclusion. So if you look at 5 stars with something like a James Webb telescope and 5 Earth-like planets, and you don't see any signs of life, you don't really know what you've learned. You could have just been unlucky. But if you can get another telescope up there to look at a wider sample of planets around stars, you can be much more confident in what you see. If you look at 25 or 50 or 100 stars, 100 or Earth-like planets, and you don't see any signs of life or maybe even anything like Earth, that should give you more confidence that our own little corner of the universe might be, dare I say, a little special.
That's a super Hubble. It took a lot to get the original Hubble up there. Like, how is this really within our grasp, an orbital telescope that could do stuff like this?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. I think it is, but it is problematic to think about because, yes, Hubble had a lot of problems, right? It had its wonky mirror, and they needed to send up space shuttles to give it glasses, right, to fix it. And future space shuttle missions visited it to upgrade its instruments and so on and so forth. And that's why it's still around today, more than 20 years after it launched. Similarly, it's proposed successor, the Webb telescope that's launching later this year, that's been in development for 20 years. It's cost over $10 billion. These are huge numbers and large lengths of time. And the question is that sustainable? I don't know if it's sustainable if we make every telescope like Webb, if we try to do it just like that. But the notion and what this report has talked about is that there are other, newer, better ways to build these sorts of things where we can manage risks more appropriately. We can invest in technology development early on, and that could give us much more affordable telescopes on a much more rapid timescale. That said, we do need to be patient. The official party line now for the U.S. astronomers and NASA is that, you know, we're looking at something maybe in the first half of the 2040s that could do this. It takes a long time to build these things. Maybe we can increase the cadence. Maybe we get a little faster. But to do that, I think there needs to be probably more money and also some changes to our procedures.
Talking to Lee Billings, Senior Editor for Space and Physics for Scientific American, looking at the search for life on other planets and other solar systems. Lee, let's flip things around. If somebody was looking here at Earth, what would the signs be that we not only have life here, but so we've got, I hope I can say this, intelligent life here on Earth?
Yeah. So it's kind of a funny thought experiment to do. It really depends on when you look. So if you look right now, the main thing you're going to see is that, well, there is water all over the surface. You can figure that out not only by color, but also by spectroscopy and figure out that there's water vapor in the atmosphere. So you could see water and that we have a big ocean. You could see signs of land, maybe even some vegetation. But the real keystone of life that people would be looking for, what a lot of people consider the kind of the holy grail measurement, would be for Earth, something you can see on Earth, a combination of oxygen, which, as we mentioned, comes from photosynthesis, plants, and certain kinds of microorganisms, as well as methane. Methane is a greenhouse gas and is produced by certain kinds of bacteria that live in the guts of cows and in swamps and things like that. What's interesting is when you have these two gases coexisting in an atmosphere, that's not really something they should do according to the laws of thermodynamics. In an atmosphere like Earth's, when you have methane and oxygen coming together, they should really kind of annihilate each other and turn into, I think, water vapor and carbon dioxide. And so the fact you see these two gases coexisting in Earth's atmosphere is a very strong indication that something, some process, life is replenishing them constantly at very large scales. That's what you could call a biosignature. Now, real quick, if you did something like turned, let's say, an Arecibo observatory-sized radio dish towards our planet, and our planet happened to send out a radio message with another Arecibo-sized radio dish straight towards you across the other side of the galaxy, you could detect that. It would take about 100,000 years for you to hear it, for it to get to you from point A to point B, but you could do that. We already have the capabilities to broadcast and tight beam our presence, a so-called technosignature, to other places in the Milky Way. But we have to put that in perspective, right? That these our signals are still relatively faint and hard to see. And we've only been broadcasting for, you know, some number of decades. You could say maybe a little more than a century. Whereas we've had this other signature of, for instance, oxygen and methane in our atmosphere. That's been broadcasting for circa a billion years. So that's probably the more powerful thing that people would notice, or the aliens would notice, I should say.
Is there going to be a thing where we spot something in another star system and say, aha, this is 100% for sure life? Or is this going to be a thing where, like, maybe percentages we think?
Yeah, Rob, it is that latter thing, unfortunately, but that's also kind of the nature of science, right? You know, you have to take the best data you can and then extrapolate from there, make reasonable speculations, and revise your ideas, your hypothesis, if you get better data. So, you know, you think about two planets over, or one planet over, we have Mars, right? We have Mars as a planet of robots. It's covered with rovers and surrounded by orbiters and things like that, and we don't know if life is there. Granted, it's kind of a quiet, sedate world, so life hasn't exactly crept into all its nooks and crannies, even if it is there and made a really obvious home for itself. Similarly, on Venus, we have spacecraft there, and recently, last year, you know, people were talking about this gas, phosphine gas, maybe existing in the Venusian atmosphere as a potential sign of microbes being there somehow in the atmosphere producing it. But we don't know that for sure. It's a questionable measurement. So yeah, the data will be noisy at first. The answer, of course, is just to build a bigger telescope, I guess, or, you know, eventually maybe even think about sending things there directly, engaging in remote interstellar travel, which is a kind of wild idea. These are all things for the future. But, you know, I think the point is, again, that we are on the threshold of actually beginning to grapple with and meaningfully answer these questions in a scientifically rigorous way, which is something we haven't been able to do for the entirety of humanity's history. So we have to have the long view here. We're at the very beginning of what could be a very grand quest of learning our place in the cosmos by really finding out what surrounds us in our nearest neighboring star systems.
That's a good place to leave it, Lee. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's Lee Billings, senior editor for Space and Physics at Scientific American, author of the book 5 Billion Years of Solitude. We talked to him about how new technologies are helping astronomers search for life elsewhere in the universe.